Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, sometimes the great debate, but it can only be either if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. Here's the number to call, 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the TV with me, the volume on your TV has to be down at zero, or I'll have to move swiftly on because no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478-0000-8066, and the best of those will come up here on the comment wall if they are good enough. You can also email comment@presstv.co.uk, and ditto, the best of those up on the comment wall. You can tweet me too at comment_PressTV. Well, after what seems like an age, the British have almost all voted, at least those that are going to. By the time this programme ends, there'll only be 1 hour left of voting. So most of the people who are going to vote already have. But it's not too late for you to tell me how you voted and why, and for me to tell you how I voted and why. But first, it's an issue of great moment, not just in Britain, and for the future of Britain, and for the future of Ireland and of Scotland. It's an issue of great moment right across the European Union. Because, I tell you this without any fear of contradiction, if there had been a referendum today across the European Union, in every member state, and the question on the ballot paper was, should we join the European Union? It would have been a landslide rejection of the EU. Hardly anyone loves it, apart from those expensively maintained by it, apart from those sucking on the teat of the European Union's funds, which are, of course, the funds that taxpayers, at least in the contributing countries, of which Britain is one, sends to them. Britain sends £350 million every single week to the European Union. Now, it gets a rebate in the form of supermarket vouchers. You get a rebate when you go to Tesco, in the sense that you get a little voucher back that says next week you can get tuppence halfpenny off your onions or your potatoes. But the net contribution of Britain in money to the European Union is £10 billion a year. Moreover, we hand over at least half of our law-making capability from the elected parliament in Westminster in London to entirely unelected, unremovable people in Brussels. Very, very well paid, very well remunerated in every sense, the best expense accounts known to man. So bad is the corruption in the European Union that for 20 years, no auditor, no accountancy firm, and they're not always people of the highest rectitude, has been prepared to put their name to an auditing of the European Union's books. And that's because, well, frankly, you couldn't count the hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds that go missing or are unaccounted for in the European Union. It is a gigantic bureaucracy dispensing tens of billions of pounds that mainly comes from the taxpayers in a few of the member countries. But that's not the main reason why I voted to leave it. I voted to leave it because I believe the European Union is nothing more than a banker's ramp, a machine that is especially engineered in the way that the great white shark has been engineered as a monumental killing machine. Half of all the children in Greece are hungry. More than half of all the young people in Spain and Portugal are unemployed. Whole economies have been devastated by the drive for austerity and neoliberal financial orthodoxy imposed by constitution, written in the constitution, which cannot be changed, of the European Union. Moreover, the European Union for me is no more than the governmental political wing of NATO, which has caused suffering and devastation all over the world, which is nothing more than a US-led war alliance. And when this campaign is over, my campaign, No to NATO, will begin. And I'll keep you posted on that. Because if membership of the EU is against the interests of the ordinary people in Britain, as I believe it is, so is our membership of NATO. We have, as a European Union, sanctioned Iran. We've sanctioned Russia. We roll out red carpets for the settler state that some call Israel. We allow them most favored nation status, as if they were actually on the continent of Europe, rather than a settler state in the Middle East, largely populated and certainly run by European settlers. So you can tell me how you voted and why. The polls make it too close to call. The average poll of polls, which Britain elects, released this evening, is 51 to remain and 49 to leave. If that is the final result, there will be a lot of problems in the political class thereafter. Because the Scottish National Party and their voters in Scotland will have been the difference between Britain leaving or staying. And the Scottish National Party want to stay in the European Union but leave Britain. They want to stay in an undemocratic, unelected European Union whilst pulling out of and withdrawing from an elected, democratic British Union. There'll be all kinds of problems if that is how the ball breaks. If London and Scotland, who are the two areas that are most favourable, according to the polls, to remaining in the European Union, if they deliver a victory, narrow victory for Remain, whilst Wales and the north of England and the southwest and the southeast of England vote leave, then that will lay bare another important division, dichotomy inside the country. It'll be a problem for the Conservatives, who will be fuming that their leader pulled out every stop and dredged every barrel to try and persuade people to vote Remain, while most Conservative members are completely against the European Union. It may well lead to a challenge to David Cameron. He may well be unhorsed and may well be replaced. And it will be a problem for the Labour Party, because the Labour voters, in their majority, will almost certainly have voted leave. Certainly at least half of Labour voters are going to vote leave. All the polls tell us that. So Labour will have campaigned for something that half of their voters profoundly disagree with. And moreover, their leadership will have campaigned for something they don't believe in. This is a very serious matter. They will have campaigned and will have been responsible, by a narrow majority if those polls are right, of persuading the country to vote for something that they themselves don't believe in. Unless, of course, they've had a collective mass Damascene conversion. Unless people who just months ago were entirely opposed to the European Union have collectively, en masse, seen some kind of light, so that they were out on the street campaigning for something that just months before they were profoundly opposed to and have been all their lives. That's a very serious matter for the Labour Party too. So this story ain't over tonight, even if the voting is mostly all over now. And there's one other issue. At the age of 79, Sheikh Isa Qasim, the most senior scholar in Bahrain, has been stripped of his nationality. Now, let me run that past you again. A 79-year-old Islamic scholar who has all of his life been a Bahraini has this week had his nationality taken from him. I'm not sure if Bahrain is the only country in the world that does that kind of thing. It's certainly the only country in the world that does that kind of thing to someone who's only asking for political reform. I mean, is there any age at which you're too old to be persecuted by the corrupt, unrepresentative, unelected, unremovable tyrants, Saudi-backed tyrants, British-backed tyrants, Western-backed tyrants? Is there no one too old that they will not be persecuted by these tyrants? And what's going to happen to Ayatollah Qasim now? What's going to happen? Is he going to be kicked out of the country at the age of 79? Without a passport? Without nationality? What kind of people are they that are running the dictatorship in Bahrain? Let's talk now on the issue of the EU referendum to Javier Farge, who's an international political analyst. Javier, welcome to the show.
George, good evening. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. Tell me what you think's going to happen and what will be the result if it does happen.
Right. Okay. I'll tell you the reasons why I voted Remain.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I agree a great deal in some of the things that you have actually said in relation to the banking presence in the European Union. But also in the European Union, you have trade unions and you have NGOs and you have community groups that are trying to do a work, you know, a good work in terms of what's happening in the European Union. Now, I did not vote Remain because I'm in love with the European Union. I'm quoting Jeremy Corbyn, of course.
Nobody's in love with it, really, are they?
Nobody.
Except those that are sucking on its beneficent teat.
Absolutely, George. But what we've been told is you have to vote for the lesser evil, not for the best, which is always not a very good way to choose your vote. However, I believe that the only choice we have to stay is because the only way we can try to reform, we have to believe in the strength of the people, of the citizens of the European Union, to put pressure on the European Union to change. Absolutely agree with you, it's unaccountable. I agree with you that there's lack of democracy in the European Union, although you have to think very carefully when we are talking about democracy in the European Parliament. Sometimes not even 40% of the British electorate go to European elections. So you can hardly blame, one can hardly blame the European Parliament.
Yeah, but the European Parliament doesn't have any power, Javier, anyway.
I agree. And that is...
That's why people don't vote for it.
I don't think many people know how they run it. But I agree with you. And that is actually one of the big sort of shortfalls of the European Union. Lack of democracy in the European Parliament. It's not really representative of the will of everybody. The European Commission, now we have to be very careful, I think sometimes when we talk about an elected bureaucrat, they can only propose laws which are being agreed by all member states.
The Commission proposes legislation itself.
Yes, that's true. But based on the agreement by member states, if the United Kingdom wants to veto a proposal of the European Commission, they can actually do that. And they have done that more than once. Now, we have to be more accountable, of course. That is not personal, of course. It has a lot to answer for. Now, what's going to happen, what I believe is going to happen after this election, this referendum, which looks like the Remain will win it, but we'll have to wait. But let's assume that it's going to win it. The European Union, the bureaucrats are shaking in the boots when they see what's happening here. They are frightened to death because they think, what is going on here? What is it that they don't like us? What are we doing wrong? They're going to have to be forced to look at the mirror themselves and say, look, we are ugly. This is ugly. We cannot go on doing this because people want to leave the European Union. One of the fears they had, as we know, is that if the Brexit won, then other countries, other movements in other countries in the European Union would have wanted to do the same, have a referendum, and it would have been an
absolute disaster. What's the future, though, Javier, for an organization that can only continue if you refuse to allow people to vote on whether they want to stay? Because you're right, and we both know it. If the British vote today to leave, there will be a domino effect throughout the European Union. So what's the future for an organization that has big ambitions but very little popular support?
Absolutely. I actually agree with Jeremy Corbyn, who said that we want a social Europe. I think that we, trade unions, grassroots, citizens of Europe, I come from South America, right? And I lived in Europe for 38 years, four in Denmark and the rest in the UK. So I've seen the European Union working, and I have worked with European Union elements, so I know how it works. So what do I think? I think that, first of all, there are many laws which in my continent would be a luxury that you have in the European Union in terms of their working time regulation and all that. They are not perfect, they are not the best, but actually they are better than what we have. But of course, we can.
Well, I don't know what they're like in the rest of Europe, Javier, but the working time directive is more honoured in the breach than it is, in fact, in Britain. Anybody who goes for a low-paid job is told by the employer to tick the box to opt out of the European Working Time Directive.
Well, that is one of the points in which we have to work hard to make sure that that is implemented. You see, we have to retake the European Union from the bureaucrats. Take it back to the people who make it, who built it, who work, who pay the taxes, who contribute to the building of the European Union. We have to take it back from them.
Javier, I just saw some pigs flying by the window. But thanks very much for kicking us off. Javier Farge, an international political analyst. Let's go to Adam in London. Adam, go ahead, sir.
Good evening, George. This is very wonderful debate that we're having tonight, because European Union, as it stands today, America has made it very, very unpopular. The fundamental principles of the formation of European Union was to fight off the wars which Europe has been fighting for over 300 years before it got it to the state that people were a lot civilized in the European Union. We've seen the formation of NATO after the Second World War, and how NATO is now being transformed to become an aggressor and a propaganda, a military killing machine for the industrialist nations. When I talk about industrialist nations, I'm talking about the Zionist corporations in the world, which of course exert or expand its tantrums beyond where it is not supposed to be. Let's look, for example, in Africa. As we stand today, European Union is broke, but it sponsors elections in Africa. They said, we want democracy in Africa. We want to democratize various nations in Africa. They go there to put in money. What it does is to foment troubles in those countries so that the corporations can go in and loot what does not belong to them. And in returns, this migrant issue comes to Europe, and it creates divisions within states in Europe. I voted for remain in European Union. Why? I wanted people like you, George Galloway, Ken Livingston, Jeremy Corbyn, and those who are well thought and who fight for civil rights to be within Europe so that we can have a proper transformation and get back to the fundamental principles of formation of Europe. Countries like Greece, we have to help Greece. We don't need the IMF. And
Adam, you say we have to help Greece. It was the EU that destroyed Greece.
Yes.
How are we going to help them? We don't run the European Union. Me and Ken and Jeremy don't run the European Union, and we'll never run the European Union. The banks, the European Central Bank runs the European Union. The European Commission, none of whose names we know, run the European Union. The Council of Ministers, which is a collection of governments, 28 governments, almost all of which are neoliberal, pro-NATO, anti-Russian, right-wing governments. How are you going to save Greece with them?
We need to form that. We need to have a reform within the European Union.
Adam,
if we don't,
Adam,
if we are not on the table, we cannot have the
government. Adam, it's got a constitution. It cannot be reformed. It cannot be changed. Only if all 28 governments, from the far right to the left, agreed on a new constitution, all 28, could it be reformed. The pigs are flying past the window again, Adam. This is just pure sentimental liberalism on your part. I'm really very disappointed to hear you, a very sensible man, argue this utopian nonsense here. The European Union cannot be reformed. It has a constitution that is written in stone, Adam.
But this election, in one way or the other, would shake the boots of those who are the bureaucrats in Europe. Therefore, I think there will be questions asked. Why is the European Union becoming so unpopular among the member states? Therefore, there should be something done to reform the fundamental or the constitution of the European Union itself.
All right, Adam, I'm obviously not going to persuade you, but thanks for the call. Well, that's two calls, both sympathetic, both Remain voters. Let's hear from young Robert in Peterhead. Go ahead, Robert.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you.
As well, you know, I'm just a little bit too young to have voted in the European referendum.
It's a great pity. I wish you'd been 18. Although, in the Scottish referendum, you did get a vote.
George, I was 15 at the time. I missed that out by 1 year as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It'll be a while then before you get to cast your vote. Go ahead, Robert.
To be honest, I agree with you when you say the European Union obviously cannot be reformed. I mean, literally, it is not... when people say that it's for the free movement of peoples, what freedom of movement for the refugees? Where is the free movement for them?
No, it's Fortress Europe when it comes to them.
Exactly. It's a Fortress Europe. Like, it's literally... The European Union is a neoliberalist, ultra-capitalist system that is run by bankers. And it's just... It's like, how difficult is it for people to see this? I mean, like...
Well, it's proving more difficult than I thought, Robert.
It's a shame.
You know, that they talk about this free movement when, as you have correctly identified as a very young man, actually it's free movement inside the European Union and a lockout of everyone else in the world. So what we now have is the most racist immigration system that we have ever had. Because the overwhelming majority of Europeans are white people. And they're the only people that have got the right to come and live and work in Britain. The rest are locked out.
And the same thing is, people say that the European Union is good for workers' rights. I mean, maybe that is true to some extent, but at the same time, how good for workers' rights is Greece at the moment? How good for healthcare is Greece at the moment? Greece is on the verge of total economic collapse as a result.
Or Spain, or Portugal, or Italy, or Ireland, or any of the countries that have been treated to the EU's austerity medicine.
Exactly.
If the EU was good for workers' rights, why would Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, the IMF, NATO, the World Bank, Tony Blair, David Cameron, George Orwell, why would they be trying to persuade you to stay in it if it was the workers' friend?
And the same thing is, like, this, regardless of what happens tomorrow, what's definitely going to happen is there's going to be a very, very big political shift. If there is a Remain vote, and the Remain vote does carry through, I imagine that it's going to be the death of UKIP, and it's going to lead to a massive split in the Conservative Party with your more liberal Tories, and I use that word very generously, to people like David Cameron and George Osborne, and then you'll have the more hard right-wing Tories like Michael Gove, Boris Johnson, people like these. What I imagine will happen is that David Cameron is going to be in a very, very, very weak position.
He is, and so am I, because I've got to cut you off for a short news bulletin. Don't go away, there's more of this. You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. And we're taking your calls, your tweets, your SMS and your emails on the two great issues that we are discussing this evening. At 79 years old, Ayatollah Isa Qasem is now stateless, without nationality, because the brutal tyrants in Bahrain have stripped him of his nationality. Why? Because he called for political reform. He's 79 years age. So I'm asking, is there nobody too old that will not be persecuted by these tyrants? What's the role of Saudi Arabia in this dirty affair, in this buttressing, propping up of these tyrants in Bahrain? Saudi Arabia, which executed Al-Nimr, Sheikh Al-Nimr, earlier this year, and threatens to crucify his young nephew any day now. What is it about this dirty Saudi-Bahraini nexus that is so attractive to Western countries that they keep their mouths zipped shut at each and every atrocity carried out against the religious minorities in their countries? Why is the West ignoring the cry of the Bahrainis for democracy? They're always telling us how much they support democracy. They're even prepared to invade other countries in order to institute democracy. How did that work out in Libya? How did that work out in Iraq? How's it working out in Syria? They're prepared to shed an ocean of blood in other countries because they love democracy so much. But when it is being drowned in Bahrain and in Saudi Arabia, for that matter, they are absolutely silent, and it's business as usual. And the other question is, of course, the referendum that's almost over in Britain. And within some hours, in the early hours of the morning, we'll know how the British have voted. Mary is on the line in London. I hope she'll tell us how she voted and why. Go ahead, Mary.
Good evening, Sir Galloway.
Good evening.
Thank you for having me again on your show.
Very nice to hear from you.
I had two short questions. The first one is, if Britain does leave the EU tomorrow morning, how do you reckon the rest of Europe will react towards us?
Well, and the rest of Europe will demand a referendum of their own, so that they can leave the European Union. The European Union is a fading, failing experiment. And in the Eurozone, it has devastated tens, scores of millions of people, visiting unemployment and mass poverty amongst them. And people in all kinds of Europe. Switzerland has just scrapped its attempt to join the European Union. It's decided it doesn't want to do so any longer. In Sweden, in the Netherlands, in Spain, in Portugal, in Italy, in Greece, huge movements to leave the euro, to leave the European Union. So the first thing that will happen is that there will be a domino effect. The dominoes will start to fall. Go ahead, Mary.
Very good for the answer. And the second question is, where do you see yourself in, let's say, a year to 5 years from now, if Britain does remain in the EU?
Well, I myself is immaterial. What I think is likely to happen, if it's a narrow result, one way or another, there will be pretty seismic changes in British politics. Young Robert in Peterhead mentioned some of them vis-a-vis the right, the UKIP and Tory parties. But I'm more concerned about what happens on the left, about what happens to Labour. If it is responsible for a narrow Remain victory when at least half, maybe much more than half, of its voting base has voted and very strongly for Leave. The consequences of that for Jeremy Corbyn are, I think, very, very serious indeed. What do you think yourself?
Pretty much what you just said.
Yeah. So. Great minds think alike, Mary. Thanks for the call. Ali's in Bedfordshire. He's up next. Go ahead, Ali.
Hi, George.
Hi.
One of my friends is not even a British national, and he was sent a polling card, and he went to vote. He's a Pakistani citizen. Yeah?
Yeah.
They were given lead pencils in the polling station.
We always vote with lead pencils, Ali.
Is it?
Yeah, always.
So they can rub it out. But it's all fixed.
No, they can't rub it out. No.
When Boris becomes the next prime minister, he'll say, I told you so. You should have voted to leave. It's all fixed. There's no way that the Central Bank of the European Union will let any member
well,
state
this is just
leave.
Conspiracy theory nonsense. The people are voting right now. If enough of them vote to leave, we'll be leaving. Ali, thanks for the call. I'm going to Matt now, who's a journalist. Matt Turnett, it's got on the screen. I'm not sure if that's right. Who is
Hi,
a
George.
Journalist in Cardiff. Matt, go ahead.
Hiya, well, I am voting to leave from the left. It is because, you know, a line peddled by lots of figures on the left during this campaign is, well, they've said another Europe is possible. You know, I've mentioned many times before to a lot of campaigners, but it is an anti-democratic institution that will happily suppress the will of national governments and their electorates for economic orthodoxy. You know, it completely beggars belief to me, at least, how, A, none of them actually have a genuine plan to reform the European Union, and B, they are naive enough to think that this isn't a structural problem, a systemic problem within the architecture and the DNA of the European Union as an institution itself.
Well, I wish I'd put it as succinctly and eloquently as you. That is the whole case. It is structural, it is systemic, it is unreformable, it is a constitutional question that can only be changed if every single one of 28 governments, and many of them would have to have a referendum first, agree to change it. And that is simply impossible. That would be like looking for a needle in a haystack.
No, of course. You know, this architecture...
And we get these liberals, and they've been joined by leftists, like the current Labour leadership team. They have been joined by a Labour leadership team that has either experienced a Saul on the road to Damascus conversion at a time they didn't identify to us and for reasons they haven't shared with us, or they've been campaigning for something they don't actually believe in. Which is it, Matt?
Well, you know, I actually don't blame Jeremy Corbyn himself. You know, the roots of this kind of noiselessness on left Euroscepticism, it can be traced back to Kinnock and Blair, who completely filled the Parliamentary Labour Party with kind of Europhile social democrats. You know, it's going to take a lot of time to actually change that. But at the moment, anyway, Labour's official position on Europe, it is really short-sighted and frail. And the only way, in my opinion, that we're going to be able to change that and create a left-wing voice in this debate again is if the Labour Party genuinely moves towards Euroscepticism, moves towards leaving the European Union.
Yeah,
that is the only way.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, but it'll be too late after 10 o'clock tonight You can't be responsible for Britain remaining in the European Union and then become Eurosceptic.
No, of course, that's true. UKIP,
contrary to what young Robert said, if there's a 51-49 vote for Remain, UKIP will be fantastically strengthened.
Definitely.
Thanks, Matt. Good call. Uthman is in Blackburn. Let's hear from him. Uthman, what do you have to say, brother?
Hi there, George.
Hi.
I just like to say, obviously, there's still time left to vote. 10 o'clock, I think, it ends.
It does.
And I personally voted to leave the European Union. And one thing I've noticed, currently actually studying economics as well at college, I've noticed that it's extremely hard to make predictions and make forecasts for this future. And
it is.
I just think it's extremely ironic that how all these, the IFS, the IMF, the Bank of England, the Barack Obama, the World Trade Organization, the list goes on and on. They've been willing to make forecasts about the European Union, how we'll have double dip recessions and how we'll have this negative growth and that negative growth in the future. It's ironic that they've been willing to tell us that, but when in 2008, when the financial crisis happened, it's funny how none of these organisations saw that happening.
None of them saw it coming, Uthman. And the very same people that you've just rattled off there are the people who told us we had to join the euro, that
exactly.
There would be disaster for Britain if we didn't join the euro. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. And the funny thing is that I think the euro will collapse in, maybe not in the next few years, but in the future, I think it will collapse because it's already had its problems in the past.
Yeah. Uthman, great call. Thanks for that. Let's talk to Mr. Baker in London. Mr. Baker, very formal. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Good to see you advocating peace and freedom as you were 10 years ago when I met you at an anti-war protest.
Thank you.
So good to see that.
Thank you.
I'd like to personally say that I voted for the Brexit to exit the EU, primarily because I take a big picture perspective. And historically, the European Union was initiated and set up and funded by the CIA because their imperialist agenda was established in order to control the 28 European countries. And they found it would be easier if that was done through one central government, through Brussels. This is not conspiratory. It is in the form of fact. And one piece of information to back that is that 122,000 laws have been passed since 1973 through Brussels and imposed on the rest of the EU. Do you know how many of those, Mr. Galloway, were imposed on the UK and passed through British Parliament in the UK?
No, tell me.
120,000 of those. And the only reason the 2,000 didn't get passed is because we didn't have the administrative resources to rubber stamp them.
Well,
these are laws that we didn't get to vote on, we didn't get to consider, we didn't get to review or to reject.
Well, I sat, Mr. Baker, I sat in Parliament, as you know, for almost 30 years. And increasingly, the decisions of the European Union were just waved through the British Parliament, because the Parliament had no time or authority to discuss them and had no power to reject them. More than half of our laws now are coming from the European Union.
That's the way it was designed, exactly, as you've said. And I see it as a tool to impose, for the financial troika, to indebt nations by way of grants. Do you remember, as countries came into the EU, I remember countries such as Malta. They were ecstatic about entry into the EU. But what they didn't realise was happening at the same time was their Maltese currency had dropped something like 30% in the time, in the 2 years it took them to get fully fledged membership into the EU. Now, they lost 30% of their assets and their value in their currency by adopting the EU. And that trend prevailed with every country that eventually got entry into the EU. Now, that's not an invisible tax and a way to profit that financial troika, then I don't know what is.
Thank you very much. A very good call, even though the phone got a bit wonky near the end. Raj is in Leeds. Let's hear from him. Raj, how did you vote and why?
Good evening to you, George.
Good evening.
How I voted today was simply, you know, it was just one option, leave.
Yeah.
Former MPs around this constituency as well, I'm not going to name names, but even they even said leave is the best way forward. You know, they have their reasons. I've even done questionnaires as well from the Telegraph, Daily Mail, you know, I've done the whole lot really in the week. And, you know, the option was, you know, literally simple as 61% leave. You know, there were obviously some answers which were remain, but majority of it was just basically leave.
Yeah.
So in regards to the options and the questions there, you know, it was just one simple.
And how do you think, I mean, what was the turnout around your way in Leeds, and how do you think people were voting?
I would say it was a bit sceptical. You know, you have some people that would obviously, you know, leave, whatnot, but they didn't have the reasons why. They didn't, you know, have the backing up. These, you know, things that you obviously hear on the BBC, whatnot, in regards to, you know, all these
Well, people. The media has been a disgrace throughout,
yeah,
don't you think?
I agree. And that's why people, you know, still don't understand in regards to which way to go. So
no,
I'm on social
they
media.
Made it into, they made it into a bread roll throwing contest between one half of Eaton's common room and the other half of Eaton's common room.
Yeah.
But they've never had you on the television, and they've certainly never had me.
Well, this is true.
Raj, exactly. Thanks for the call, and thanks for your vote today. We'll see if it prevails. The poll of polls, as I said, at the close of play almost, was 51 for Remain and 49 for Leave. If that is the result, I tell you, British politics just got a whole lot more interesting. Mabruk is in Toronto. Welcome back, brother. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Jolly.
Good
and
evening.
Thank you very much for all of your activities and your fair deal with the program.
Thank
now,
you.
I'm coming obviously from Canada, and I do not mean to interfere. I have to be very careful not to interfere in a European issue. But actually, watching what's happened with the European Union, I see that what starts wrong usually ends with wrong. So the European Union caused more problems, and we did see that what's happened in Greece, what's happened in Portugal, and even in England, I did see some serious complaints. There is a systematic problem with the system. If it's not fixed now, it will never be fixed. It's run by some banks and some financial interests in Germany and France mostly, and taking over all other countries. And none of the other countries have the strength enough to stand up to them.
Yeah.
So
you've got it right all the way from Toronto. They want the industrial powerhouse to be Germany, the financial powerhouse to be London, not Britain, but London. And they want to use the reserve army of labor of millions of Eastern Europeans and Central Europeans to move them around, so-called free movement, as cheap labor. The average wage in Bulgaria is £1 per hour. And in Britain, it is a minimum of 5.5 times that. So you can hardly blame the Romanian worker or the Bulgarian worker or the Slovakian worker, if he or she takes to their heels and moves to the German or British economies and is prepared to work for less than the British workers are. This is the latest tweet from Jeremy Corbyn. My goodness. The reality is, if you have a union with free movement that is comprised of highly developed and rich countries and far more countries that are very poor countries, the traffic is only going to be one way, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
thanks very much, Mabruk. Another great call from Toronto back to London. Abdul. Abdul, welcome. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I mean, there are many reasons, but I voted to leave, and there are two main reasons. The first, I agree with you that the EU you know, it's not working. It has to be broken now, but it has to be rebuilt beginning with just the northern European countries, like including Germany, which have the same social welfare kind of benefits, and then in joining, allowing the other countries to join as they meet that target. And I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, the unskilled and the semi-skilled sector, they have been badly affected, like you said. But it's also the skilled sector, you know, because the workers from the EU countries, they don't have to do any exams, and they don't even have to do, you know, speak English fluently. And the second major reason is, I think, you know, people don't realize, but English is spoken in this island only because of the Commonwealth countries, which, you know, fought on the side of Great Britain during the Second World War. I mean, I know they always say Americans, but America joined only after the Battle of Britain was won, and after Japan attacked America and went to war with them, and Hitler declared war on America. You know, it's only because of that they joined. But until then, you know...
Well, that's right. We were left alone. We stood alone. And if we hadn't, you and I would be having this conversation in German. Abdul, thanks for that great call. Last call, I think, from Darren in Ireland. Go ahead, Darren.
Hello, George.
Hi there.
I was just considering the possibility Ireland and Britain relations. That's an awful thing to do, is to leave Ireland with higher import tax and exports and everything.
Well, Ireland is an independent country, of course, and can make its own decisions as to whether it stays or goes from the European Union. I noticed that Sinn Féin, having spent decades opposing the European Union, are now asking people to vote for it.
Well, George, yes, but there is things there too that Ireland could benefit from a Remain vote that would kind of help Ireland to...
Well, it won't change British-Irish relations in any way, Darren, because they are governed by special treaty between Britain and Ireland, which will not be affected. There will still be a free travel area between Britain and Ireland. There will still be the right of Irish people in Britain to vote. There will be, no doubt, free trading between the two countries. I don't see how it affects badly in any way the relations between Britain and Ireland.
But there's only... The only thing would be that Ireland is to create border difficulties.
Well, that's another matter. But from my point of view, as someone who supports Irish unity, that's a matter for the Irish. It's a matter for the Irish whether they have a border or not. And Ireland should be one country in any case. And the sooner those recalcitrants who oppose it see that, the better. But there's no reason at all why relations, bilateral relations, between Britain and Ireland should be affected in any way. In fact, Ireland will always be our closest neighbour and, from my point of view, our closest friend. So, don't miss Press TV's live show on the EU referendum results tomorrow at 5:30 GMT. You can continue this discussion that we've been having on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. It's been marvellous for me. I hope it was for you, and that you'll join me again, God willing, next week at the same time.
Hello, just comment your name and a picture of your account number. And just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me to the phone number, and then we'll be back. Comment.
Can I have your telephone?